You're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hello. Thanks for joining us today on Boggy Talk. Hope everybody's doing great. How are you guys?
Wonderful.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sound like me.
I know. Yeah, I know.
No purpose. Yeah.
I'm finally like not coughing all the time.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
So yeah. That almost coughed. So it feels, I was like sick.
Yeah.
You were
I was
sick.
Pretty
you were
sick. Like I was
while.
Wheezing when I would walk far and stuff.
Oh
like,
boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Doing, I mean,
getting
I'm
older
here, enjoying the nice fall-ish mm-hmm. cool mm-hmm. mornings weather. That's nice. You know,
it's getting into like the 40s this
yeah.
week.
Yeah. I mean, I hate saying that like simultaneously while like the rest of Florida is recovering from,
yeah, I know.
You know, terrible
know.
Weather,
yeah.
but,
mm-hmm.
We enjoy the blessing here.
Yeah,
right
yeah
now, so.
That's true.
Yeah, we are pre-recording this again, so we
yes.
actually don't know the full extent
yeah,
of hurricane damage
it's
again.
It's going to be bad, but we yeah. you know stand ready to help.
Mm. Yeah, mm. crazy. We've been talking about that for two, like back
yes.
to back to back. Mm. But
yeah.
yeah,
I was in a meeting where I was. You know, they were asking about like how would Niceville deal with this because, mm. you know, it's very hard to get out of Niceville
mm-hmm.
and. They were saying a hurricane hitting here in July and August would be a nightmare because of how many people
oh,
are
would
in
be
Odessa
here.
Yeah.
And
I
South
had not
Florida.
Thought about that. Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
it's hard to get out.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's true.
Because you see Saturdays, you know, coming mm-hmm. in and getting out. Like,
yeah.
So that would be
yes,
an absolute
it would be,
nightmare.
It absolutely would be.
Yeah.
I texted a friend who lives in Central Florida. He works at One More Child. And
oh, cool.
To say, hey, I'm praying because they have to prep all their campuses, too.
Yeah.
And he's tried to, you know, he's
prep
a dad.
House.
Yeah, and he's
yeah.
a dad, too. So he's got kids and... And he was like, yeah, I would like to cancel my subscription to Hurricane of the Month because they just dealt with
basically,
Helene there. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, they're dealing with things, operations statewide. So it's, it's crazy.
Wow. Mm. Well, I'm thankful for all of the groups and the relief teams that have been out there stepping up. They've been doing
props to our disaster relief team. Yeah.
They're awesome.
Mm-hmm. They're so good.
Yeah.
They are.
And people
great.
Are giving, too, you know, up until I think we're at like $12,000 mm-hmm. has been given. And so
that's
hopefully
awesome.
With the recovery, that will increase,
it'll, yes,
you know,
absolutely.
For this hurricane.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Well, other events that we have coming up, I feel like we finish an event and then we're just
it's time for the next one.
Right into the next one.
We're trying to fix that in 2025.
Getting better.
Calendar.
Getting
we're
better.
Getting better
yeah.
for sure.
Well, it's good. I mean,
yeah.
They're all
good
things.
Things. Yeah,
yeah
none
all
of them
good
are
things.
Bad. It's
mm-hmm.
just, yeah. Which ones?
None of them are bad.
Yeah.
Different ratings, maybe.
No, sorry, I said yeah. I meant like,
you were thinking
yeah.
through.
I was thinking like yeah, it's true. No, it's just, yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
Prioritization.
Yeah.
Well, one event that we have coming up is our fall festival. I know we talked
fall
about this
festival.
Before, but we're still there. We definitely need more trunks for...
Yeah, definitely more volunteers.
Yeah.
Trunks, sign up online.
And
we
candy.
Need more candy. Lots,
lots
of candy.
Lots of candy.
You know, the goal, our kids ministry team, they're the ones who organized the bulk of this, and they would love to see 1,400 people on campus at night. So that's...
That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
So can... For somebody who might be thinking about doing this, parking their car there, how do they sign up?
They go to churchonbayshore.org/events. There's a registration form
okay.
or sign up for trunks for some of the other stations. For
mm-hmm. And so to sign up for a trunk, they have to decorate their trunk?
They have
yeah.
to decorate
yes.
their trunk. Or we have, I think our kids, they have some, like,
okay.
hey, if you don't have something, we can help you.
Okay.
Some
thing.
Ideas.
Yeah.
Okay.
What if they have a lot of junk in the trunk? You knew,
I knew that was coming. I could see
he's trying to find
I
the opportunity.
In your eyes. I could see the look in your
we're
eyes.
We're getting there. When I'm about to say something
tell.
Like that, Christy like, Ross is
that
like.
That is a leading question.
But then I kept like, you're like, maybe not, maybe.
I was like, should I say it? Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So come if you have junk in the trunk
yeah.
and, you know, park your car
clean
and
out
your
trunk.
Just hide it.
Decorate
it. All right.
Well, we're kind of sad, or I'm kind of sad, because we're wrapping up. Well, we wrapped up Jesus
yes,
Freaks
we did.
This past
yeah.
Sunday. So.
Yeah, we came back to the heart of worship.
We did.
Yeah, yeah. It was a wonderful series. We'll still be in Colossians, but we finished Colossians 1 and 2.
3 and 4.
Okay.
Next.
Moving
next.
Right along.
Yeah.
What were some of the major takeaways from the series for you guys?
I would say the first is that, man, people, we had a lot of comments about like the throwback songs
they,
to the
yeah.
90s.
Really?
And people mm-hmm. were like, yeah.
Keep it going.
And so we'll have to keep doing some, I mm-hmm. think, integrating it in. I think there's a lot of merit to that, just like there is merit to for some of our more seasoned adults who, you know, appreciate hearing him, you know, like it's, there is, we have to recognize part of it is like,
wait, but one's in the Bible and one's not.
Right. Songs, hymns, and spiritual songs.
Oh, oh. But you didn't do Big House, so you really, you really failed there.
Somebody was
there.
Somebody was pretty upset that we actually didn't do Jesus Freak. And I was like, well, you know, it'd be more of a like spectacle if we did.
Yeah. It would be a spectacle.
Yeah. So, but yep. Yeah, but I think it just goes.
Who's the best rapper at Bayshore? Who do you think? I bet PT can rap.
He probably can.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be, yeah. He probably
he can a little bit.
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah. Didn't
she
do
little
that
bit.
On the?
Yeah, a Jesus little freeze. Bit.
If I do,
I don't know if I do
it
in front
across,
of a few hundred people.
Yeah, it comes across not right when I do it. It's just not good.
I know. I'm reading between the lines. I'm reading between the lines.
Yeah, it's just not good. So,
well, sorry. No,
I mean, I got rhythm,
rapping,
but you don't want me to rap.
Jeff Waits, maybe?
Jeff
Waits? John Corley?
Man, I
bet John Corley can
we
rap.
We should have a wrap-off here, I think. This
yeah.
A Deacon wrap-off.
I like that.
Forget the Deacon dip.
I'm about
Let's
to say,
the
forget
Deacon
the Deacon
wrap ice cream
dip. We'll just have a wrap. Man, we might have some people
Let's
show up
do
for
it.
That.
Mm-hmm. Put it on the calendar.
Junk in the drunk and all.
Yeah. But I think it goes back, getting back to the point. Yes. Coming
back,
back
to
what we were talking about.
Coming back to the heart of worship.
It really just shows, like, there is, and I think it's okay, like, there are powerful emotions tied to the songs we sing.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's part of how God created us, you know, so it's good.
You have Celine Dion songs, they have 90s
like,
worship songs.
Come on.
Yeah.
What was that one? The na 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 na
na na na na na na.
Yeah, just, we had to bring that back.
That's right.
Yeah.
I thought there's another 90s worship song. It's like na 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 na.
Oh,
yeah. That's Waves of Mercy.
Waves of
Grace.
What is that song?
Everywhere I look, I see your face.
I have literally forgotten about that song.
Because
you
did
like
me. Oh, yeah. That was a big motion song. Lots of motions to that.
I was like coming to faith, you know,
during
all this. So like it was, yeah. I was like
everywhere,
every
move
I make,
I'm making
you. You make me move, Jesus. Yeah, that's
every
almost
breath
like
I
rapping.
Take, I breathe in you. Wow. And there was the like in the secret, in the quiet.
Yeah, I don't like that song.
Savage Garden? No, not Savage Garden. what was the name of that?
Trading
My Sorrows is the name of the song.
That's Daryl. No, Trading My Sorrows is Daryl Evans. That's boom, 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 boom,
I'm
boom. In the secret, Sonic Garden.
Sonic Flood.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just
I don't know why I said Savage
that
Garden.
A little, that one's
that
a
was truly
feely.
Madly Deeply. It was a secular song. Yeah, I burned that CD.
I'm like not a touchy feely person, and which people would be like, but you're a worship leader, aren't they? I'm like, not really, but like that song in particular, it's like I want to know you, I want to touch you, I want to seek your face, I want to. I'm like,
it's
like,
a little weird.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Draw me close to you.
Yeah, that one's.
Actually, like that one.
That one's fine, but like the other one.
That's what made like. Dudes not want to go to church though.
Well,
draw me close.
And then
to
like
you.
We had a good
that,
chorus.
But that gave all that chorus. Gave way to like stuff in the 2000s where it was like there's a Carrie Job one that was like I want to lean up against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. It's like, do I? Like that's a little weird. Mm-hmm. Like that was and,
too far.
Yeah,
too far.
I mean the Psalms though.
Yeah,
David was emo.
Yeah, that's true. But I think it's just like, but in corporate worship.
Yeah,
that's like. A little weird.
Well, kind of speaking.
Anyway,
this transitions well to I think something that has been interesting through conversations I've had, and even some of the things you said on Boggy Talk, is people's conflicted feelings about that like season of Christianity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, there's a reason a lot of 40-year-olds are not in church who grew up in church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Because a lot of these things
and some of these songs trigger like
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, it's for real. And going back to like even Fall Festival, like I saw a meme this past week. It was like, Christians, we don't celebrate Halloween. And then it shows a picture of Fall Festival, trunk or treat, dress up as your favorite Bible character. And it's like
counterculture.
Those,
yeah.
It's like this is our version of counterculture, but it's really more caricature culture.
Mm.
And I think that is a huge piece of it. Like,
Yeah, people can kind of get legalistic.
So there is a lot of confliction because there are meritorious things about these things in culture. Like we talked about purity culture when we first kicked off this. Like that was born out of a pure thing, like, you know, God's design for marriage. But then it got like convoluted and twisted and it became all about, well, not all, in every circle, but it came a lot more about women or girls and your purity and guys or boys will be boys and like it gets twisted into these things that they start off pure and then because we mess them up we don't, so
obviously how we get there is pretty nuanced but Yeah, I think maybe this is getting kind of further in our conversation, but it's a lot easier to be like, hey, we can be distinct by doing a fall festival instead of letting our kids trick-or-treat, right? Mm-hmm. Then it's easier to do that than be like, hey, we got to be like Christ. Mm-hmm. You know? Like,
yeah. This is true.
Yeah, so I think it's just so easy to fall into those kind of things, you know, and I think a true critique of Christians during that time or probably any time is like, you're not being different to be like Christ. You're being different and just being weird.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah. Like, that's so true. And I think, you know, this, one of the things about 90s, like there was a huge emphasis on like the end times. And this came up in our life group this past week as we're studying 2 Peter 3.
Ooh,
and,
Left Behind?
Yeah. I mean, really, I mean, just kind of the concept of how like
Tribulation houses, they don't do those anymore.
Yeah, tribulation oh, trails, yeah, judgment houses. I mean, that was the thing. And it was,
how do people get saved? They now literally were
like,
that.
And I remember seeing
called
one. It was
Hell's
like,
Fury. Remember
yes,
that?
And it was like Hell's literally Fury? Like,
that sounds
like
a ride at the
will
fair.
Will scare the hell out of you. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like the catchphrase. No way. Like, marketed to
yes.
Christians. Like,
I went
was
to it. They actually would have.
Wait, this was here?
Yeah. Oh, there was one at Fort Walton.
Not
at this
church.
Oh.
Yeah, not,
no.
Like, not here.
Oh,
okay.
No.
You grew up in Niceville. We're like, oh, no, this was here. No.
I would not be surprised.
And they had, like, demons, like, come out in the audience grab people, like it was people that they knew that they were, it was happening, but they
yeah,
had you
okay.
know the whole like Left Behind and then
yeah.
that part.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. But it was always around Halloween.
Yeah.
You know, and
wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like what you're saying, it's like it's so that. Much easier to get focused on, like in 2 Peter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, it's about the day of the Lord. And it's easy, like, and as he's talking about what it will be like, to get caught up in trying to guess when it is. When is the day of the Lord? And that's a huge thing. And really, I mean, it still is in some circles, but especially 80s, 90s. But
people in their 80s and 90s?
No, well, that too.
Okay.
Or in the
I don't think they're like the day of the
they're
Lord
like,
is any day.
They're
yeah,
like,
yeah. I'm going
tomorrow,
anyway.
I'm
yeah.
But like the whole point of him writing that comes later in that chapter when he says, so in light of these things,
right.
as we are awaiting and hastening the day of the Lord,
yeah.
how should we live? And I think that's where we focus on all these other things rather
yeah.
than like Jesus, based on all of this that he's returning, how do we live?
Yeah.
And I think going back to the culture question, like those things become easier targets
yeah.
than how do we actually follow Jesus.
They thought Jesus was coming back. Like the apostles, the disciples,
yeah.
the early church, they thought he was coming back in their lifetime. And so they lived differently.
Mm.
We just want to obsess about when he's coming back, keep living the same.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's
and
true.
So
that's
I think
true.
It's interesting with like these tribulation houses. Again, I don't think anybody's really doing those except for maybe like independent fundamental Baptist, you know, in Missouri or something. But I don't know why I said
Missouri.
I don't know.
Sorry, Missouri
but
people.
That's where, isn't
Arkansas.
That where Westboro Baptist is? No, they're in Kansas. They're
I
in Kansas.
No
they're in Kansas,
yeah.
yeah. Or no, they're in Kansas City, Missouri. I don't
it's
know.
So confusing.
At.
Why do they do that? Kansas City, Missouri? I don't
in
know.
In Kansas City. Anyway. Yeah. But somebody be like, well, I know this one person that got saved
yeah.
because of that. And it's like, that's not justification to
right,
do this
yeah.
huge thing that mm-hmm.
yeah.
sends everybody.
I mean, people get saved under like false teachers,
I know,
too.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, but, yeah, exactly.
I know someone. This is not – y'all are going to think I'm making this up. So a person in our former church's testimony, obviously people had shared the gospel, but she was reading – I don't know which one because I haven't read them – one of the 50 Shades of Grey books. And in it, the girl like has like a some kind of spiritual encounter with Christ, and it made her go to church.
Wow!
So
wow.
It was like, well, people should read 50 Shades
yeah.
of Grey.
No,
I forgot
yeah.
that even existed.
That's
but yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah. And I mean,
that's
but
crazy.
That just shows the goodness of God in the
yeah.
midst of our
mm-hmm.
idiocracy. I think
yeah.
you know. So
how crazy!
Not that
we
everybody
are.
Who did Tribulation House was
no,
in
and anything. Again, like I don't think they're the in, again the intent. I don't necessarily was how it came across and or what it became.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know? And so.
Yeah, we just, it's so easy that we make it about things that it's not supposed
right.
to be about. And that's the constant struggle that we have. So going back to the good parts about, well, it's all good, Colossians 1 and 2. But really, I was reading over that again recently, and I'm like, this is a part you could just memorize. I mean, that.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those chapters are just so strong
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
Just great reminders to all of us of what is important and what,
yeah.
you know, the truth that we need to constantly be leaning on. So this last Sunday, we talked about the heart of worship, which we kind of
mm-hmm.
mentioned that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just constantly drifting to things that are not about mm-hmm. Jesus. So why do we do that? Why does each culture kind of seem to do that?
It's a lot easier to not focus on Jesus, you know, to make mm-hmm. it about something else. It's, I mean, that's bottom line. Our hearts are idol factories, mm-hmm. and so we will constantly replace Jesus with anything mm-hmm. that gives us a feeling of validation or mm-hmm. preference. That's a simplistic answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's easier. I think we're in a culture. I mean,
yeah,
I think
a big piece.
I don't think this is the same problem in cultures where mm-hmm. Christianity isn't as prevalent, or at least as prosperous.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's we are prosperous, and so we have options. That helps us. That feeds into our preferences. I remember when we were in India one time, and the pastors were asking us about a situation in their church, and it was a matter of where they really needed to like confront someone about an issue. And so we walked through like what the Bible says about church discipline and how you confront someone. And they said, so this is what happens in America. And we were like, no, really, what happens in America is people just leave to go to another church. And their expression was just like, what? Like, there's not that option here. And so there's when there's more cost involved, mm-hmm. you don't give as mm-hmm. much weight to your own preferences. And I think that's a big piece of it.
And I think it's easy for church leaders to be like, okay, well, who's our people? How do we keep this group of people happy, and how do we keep our lives secure? You know, mm-hmm. and I mean, there is that temptation, and so, and it's really just easier to like double down on like this is our thing, you know? And especially if it's cultural, mm-hmm. And you know, the gospel, Jesus is our thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have to really be sure that we're doing that. And I think, you know, in terms of worship, one of the things that we really tried to give language to you've done it in sermons, we've done it on Sunday mornings, mm-hmm. but it's happened in some smaller groups, you know, as things have changed, we tried to help, you know, meet with people and explain things and really giving voice to specifically for the worship service, what truly is preference, and that mm-hmm. it's helping people understand that it's okay to have a preference. Like it is okay that you prefer a style, and that's fine. Like there's not, that's kind of neutral to have a preference, but mm-hmm. to elevate your preference above the good of others and to elevate your preference above the glory of Jesus is idolatry.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think we've come a really long way in this in our church, and that is not just about an older generation and hymns. That is mm-hmm. also about a younger generation and modern mm-hmm. music. It's both ways, and I think we've really, as a church, have taken great strides to help, and it's because of the leadership of a lot of our senior adults who've been able to do that encouragingly. And we were just planning worship for the next week, and I was meeting with PT, and one of the songs we're singing is "Oh Praise the Name," and he was like, "Does the church know that?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, the church loves this." And I said, "In fact, you can sing that in the traditional service too, because they've sung it." And I was telling him that one of our senior adults, we say that on my first Good Friday here, and one of
have
our
senior that on your first Sunday, your first time here.
I think maybe so. Yeah,
you did. I remember
it was new, and it's like we sang it at Good Friday. Like, yes. Oh, it's coming! Here's coming!
Yes, because you had the choir. I remember. Yeah. I was in the balcony for y'all's rehearsal.
But we sang it at that Good Friday service, and that Good Friday service was a blend of our, at that time, traditional or blended service and contemporary service. And he came up to me, and this is a man in his 80s, and he said, I can't remember the person's name, but he said, so-and-so would have fell over in their grave if they saw me in worship tonight. And I was like, what? He's like, because I had my hand, it was the first time I've ever raised my hand in worship, and I couldn't help it. Now, raising your hand in worship isn't the telltale sign that you finally entered into the Shekinah mm-hmm. glory of God and there, you know, the spirit. But here's a man in his 80s who's saying, this is not my preference, but I cannot help but worship mm-hmm. Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it's with that kind of attitude that I think our church has been led by lay people who've just said, mm-hmm. we love Jesus.
Yeah.
So it's submitting one to another out of reverence to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Usually the tension in any church is just what the majority wants, you know, and mm-hmm. if that preference, trying to navigate that preference, you know, of the majority, you know, and I think one thing that creates tension in a lot of churches is so like a pastor comes in and he has a vision of how he thinks things should be, or a group of leaders, and the church isn't there yet. Mm-hmm. And I think by God's grace, we've been pretty good,
yeah.
Not perfect, but pretty good at being like, this is who we are. We're going to keep moving in this direction a little bit, but mm-hmm. also we're not going to force right. our preference on yeah. you either. I think sometimes when we move in a direction, whatever that direction might be, people are like, oh, well, that's just, you know, what James wants to do or Justin wants to do. And it's like, no, that's been, you know, what the Lord has been doing mm-hmm. and how he's been changing people's mind about a preference, you know. And I think for us as a church, you know, I can't speak for every church, but like we've really tried to keep it about the gospel, mm-hmm. about Bible study, about serving the community, being focused on global missions, multiplying, and that's about it, you know,
right,
and
that yeah.
we should be evangelistic. Like, I may have said this on Bugger Talk already, but somebody actually commented to me the other day and was commenting on our church and says, our church doesn't get focused on nonsense. Mm-hmm. And I was yeah. like, man, that's like one of the most complimentary things you could say. Mm-hmm. Now,
yeah, sure.
I'm not going to say everybody's little passion is nonsense.
Yeah.
Right. right?
Yeah.
But they were, yeah. We don't become very focused on people's specific things they're passionate about. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean we don't believe they're valid. Like mm-hmm. God might put, you know, something on your heart. And I'm like, you need to figure out what to do with that. But be careful before you think everyone should be just the same,
yeah.
have the same equal mm-hmm. passion. And right. so like I've had people who've come to our church. We'll take Israel, for example. I've had people come to our church and they're like, yeah, I'm here because my church doesn't talk about Israel. And I'm like, I mean, I'm literally like, they're not going to stay, you know, because mm-hmm. they have something clear in mind.
Yeah.
And they do. And they often are combative about it. But then there's other people who really do have a heart for Israel in our church. And they have that heart for whatever reason the Lord gives them that. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to stop talking to me about that. But they also are humble and are just they're talking to me because they believe the Lord has called them to talk to
right,
me about
yeah.
it, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they listen to what I have to say humbly about our approach. Those are different. Like, mm-hmm. you know, again, we have people in our church who they leave because they're, you know, and again, I'm not because they're Reformed and they want to talk about the tulip. And then there are people in our church who, you know, they might lean that way, but they get like that's their passionate theological stance is not what the church is going to focus on eschatological views. You brought mm-hmm. that. There are people who are premillennial dispensationalists
right.
in our church, you know, but they don't, they're not like, you got to talk about
right,
this, Pastor
yeah.
James.
Yeah.
I don't know what else.
Well, I think those are theological issues. And then you get into the ministry issues.
Oh, yeah,
or
there you go.
And actually, mm-hmm. this is fresh on my mind because I this morning went to benevolence ministry meeting, and we have great people who serve in a benevolence ministry, and they were saying, hey, we need more awareness. We need to make sure the church knows. And that's true. Like, mm-hmm. That's true. And they're asking for certain things. I said, well, that's and also ESL wants that, and mm-hmm. Disaster
yes.
Relief wants that,
yeah.
mm-hmm. and you know this ministry wants that, and OCC like and it's right. And I said, like, you are doing what you should do
yes.
mm-hmm.
in advocating for your ministry and mm-hmm. people to be involved. And our job, and I said, I've got to meet with our communications team, and we got to figure this out. Is our job is to figure out how do we do all of these things that are
yeah.
worth it and
mm-hmm.
not overwhelm the church with 17 collection drives at the same time.
Right,
you know,
absolutely.
Like we
yeah.
have to manage those tensions mm-hmm. and it's, but they,
our jobs sound really hard as we're talking about right now.
There's,
I love
that. There's so many tensions we manage. That's
I know,
why we're like,
constantly
like, it's like a ball of rubber mm-hmm. bands, but some people will get frustrated that
yeah.
they feel like
yeah.
because we aren't only highlighting theirs or highlighting theirs above everyone else's and not
mm-hmm.
and our benevolence for clarity.
No,
our benevolence
you're
ministry
using,
is not this.
Yes.
Right.
But some people do that. I mean, that happens in churches
mm-hmm.
all the time. I mean, I've had people say, like, they cut a ministry at a specific church, and this person said, well, I'm called to serve that ministry, and if we're not doing that ministry, I'm leaving this church. I'm like, so you're called to serve, and it was a program, it was like a Bible study curriculum. You're called to mm-hmm. teach that. But not to the church to make disciples.
Can I just guess that that was Awana?
It was.
Okay,
it wasn't
yeah,
the church.
Yeah.
It was not the
yeah,
church.
Sorry.
So, but it was. There's people. And
it's because it was developed in the 90s.
Yeah. I mean, it really is.
All things from the 90s.
Yeah.
Now.
But it's like these beautiful things that if we're putting them in above
mm-hmm.
like our agenda, we have to be so careful with that.
Yes.
And I think as leaders,
mm-hmm.
that applies to us too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like we don't get what we want all the time,
mm-hmm.
and that's
mm-hmm.
good.
Yeah, and I think there's some leaders that just won't say no to strong personalities like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's take Awana, for example. Like, there's nothing wrong with that program. It's a great program. The Lord has used that program. But is that what this body should do? Like, that's not a decision that two people make, you know. That's not a decision that the loudest voice should win, you know. Like, and it does. So when we come back to, like, these ideas, somebody's got an idea, we're going to do a tribulation house because my grandmother got saved, you know, going to a tribulation house. And it's like, you know, hey, we need to pray through if that's really the best this church should do.
Yeah.
Now, kind of going the other side is, like, in some situations, they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
You know, and so, like, okay, we're going to do, you know, D.L. Moody, right, said my method of evangelism works better than your no evangelism.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's a valid argument on the other side. But I think we have to recognize, you know, the centrality of the gospel, the centrality of making disciples, the centrality of teaching scripture as a part of that, centrality of serving our community, the centrality of being a church that cares about the nations. In my personal opinion, being a multiplying church as much as you can. And then the other things are negotiable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And like you guys said, that's definitely a tension that you have to manage, and it changes with people, you know, who's in leadership, and it changes with congregation members and all those things. And so that wisdom that you guys, we have to constantly be going back to the Lord and, you know.
I just want to say thank you to you, and thank you to you, and thank you to Steve, and probably everyone on our staff, at least who's in a leadership role for sure, even though I'm thankful for everybody on our staff, but because you guys are involved in a lot of those conversations. And I feel like when it's me, it feels very final.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily final. We're not saying benevolence. We're not going to talk about you forever.
Yeah.
We're just saying, hey, right now, no. But, like, if they're pushing that with me, it feels like final. And so I feel like because we do have such a great staff, like, I'm not the one having to say no very often. We laugh. I'll be like, yeah, sure, you can do that. And Justin's like,
oh, great.
Nah,
that's not going
to
happen.
I'm the guy who, like, naturally wants to say yes to everything.
Are,
I'm like, yeah, of course. I'm like, no, I can't for the sake of the health of,
of
our church.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Not good. So, no.
Yeah. I regularly say, like, I have no problem with that, but we got a lot going on, and, you know, you're going to have to talk to that ministry.
Yeah,
what are
the logistics of it all? Yeah. How does it break down? Yeah, that's good.
But our church, when I got here, the bulletin had like 93 announcements in it. Seriously, Kelly, I need to find one for you.
I believe it.
And they would just, if somebody was like, I want to talk about this, regularly they would let them, like, at well-intentioned, come and talk on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
You know, and then I got up and I was preaching 45 minutes every week, so we just couldn't do that anymore.
You didn't have any time.
I don't preach 45 minutes anymore,
That it's difficult to manage, and, you know, you have to have wisdom in that and seek the Lord in it, and lots of counsel from lots of people. You know, none of us do this alone, and I'm grateful for a staff that everybody just works together and talks and communicates and does all of those things. So, speaking on things that churches deal with, vote on, don't vote on. So some of us have been in churches where voting on the budget is normal. Like, we have these in our cycles. But then there are some churches that they don't even vote on that at all. So why is that?
I guess the simplest answer is usually however the church is structured and their form church polity. So I can speak to why we do it that way. It's because of our church polity. and also, I mean, we really do value transparency with the church. And so, you know, there's every line, every, you know, account number is put out in our budget. This year, our stewardship team produced a document that shows comparison from 2024 to 2025 on every line item, which helps the church see, like, where priorities are, where they've shifted, what we've increased. And ultimately,
who we don't care about anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what the translation is.
Yeah.
But ultimately, and those budgets are the result of congregational input and our input meetings, and then the MLTs, budget area managers, some of our staff. And so there's a lot of hands in it when it's all said and done, and ultimately the church approves it because it is the church's budget. This is not the staff's budget. This isn't the pastor's budget. This is the church's budget. And I guess
it's the Lord's budget.
That's right. You get theological. I mean,
that's what Marques said.
That's right.
Sunday.
That's right. It's the Lord's budget. This is God's budget, is what he said. And it's true. It all belongs to him. And if you go back, the pastors of the church in Ephesians 3 are given to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Do what?
Ephesians 4.
Ephesians 4, yeah, that's right.
You're good.
13, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. And so we shouldn't be the ones saying, this is how it has to be. So it's church buy-in. Other churches have probably more of a, I wouldn't say pastor is dictator, but pastor is a final authority on everything. And so pastor said this, we're doing this kind of mentality. And maybe they don't vote on it because they don't want they don't want people to ask questions.
Yeah,
you can't say that for every church that does it, but I think that is probably the case in some.
Do people like that are new, discovered, do they ask you specifically about budget things at those type of meetings?
They did this past
week. Yeah. Okay. Cause we talk about giving and we talk about the budget.
That's where question two actually is from.
Yeah. We don't go specifically into like line by line detail at Discover, but we do provide a budget to them at Join. And people ask questions
A budget. Yeah. Not a detailed budget, not a third line budget at Join, but
Join, we give it to them.
It's just a second line. It's just a bigger line budget. Yeah. But yeah, I think, I mean, really not adding anything to what he would say. I would just reinforce that. It's polity. I think it's important to know your church's polity and are you okay with that? You know, there are churches that are definitely either led by the staff or led by the elders and usually have some kind of finance team. And that's it. And, you know, they're not necessarily wrong. I think every church has to vote on the budget. They just don't have to give a ton of detail if they don't want to. Like, to be a nonprofit organization
in
Florida, I think you have to vote on the budget. Your members have to be able to vote on the budget or something like that. Yeah. I could be messing that up, so maybe I'm wrong.
Don't go maybe call it's your just, church if they don't do that.
Maybe it's just vote on the officers. I don't know. But there is something membership has the right to. So that would be – I do think sometimes there's shadiness, you know. Sometimes there's just lack of stewardship. I would also caution anyone who's in our church and who's going to move, you know, because of military or wherever. I would not compare your church with our church because we are very blessed with a lot of very gifted leaders. So the reason they're able to give the level of detail, the level of transparency is because we have a lot of very skilled people.
Yeah.
So I think there's probably other churches that desire to be as transparent.
Yeah,
they
just good point.
Don't execute it as well in terms of transparency. That doesn't mean we're better than them. It just means for whatever reason, the Lord has chosen to bless us in that regard. And we're able to do that very clearly. And now we're starting to have some longevity of staff. And so there's, you know, it's easier to communicate with our lay leaders. And so we're thankful for that.
Yeah, that makes sense. We did have a question during Discover about missionaries that we support. How do we decide we're going to support this person? I'm sure you have people that come to you.
Yeah, that's a great question.
And back to before, because he's going to answer this because he's a missions guy. But before, back to the whole like, which ministry we support and which theological issue we talk about, this is another one where somebody will be super passionate about a missions organization or a specific missionary.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm not discounting that, but whether or not we as a church should support them and how much we should support them is a different.
I would say this is challenging because there's so many emotions tied up in this because we as Christians, like, we want to support missions. I mean,
all the missions.
Yeah, all of them. And most of them are great. Not all of them are great. and so we have to also consider really, like, is this a ministry or this person? Are they aligned with what we would say, like, our primary issues, et cetera? So I would say, ultimately, we have a missions ministry team who makes these recommendations. And so there's a process through which, you know, I would say oftentimes they get connected to, someone sends me information or sends someone on the MLT information. We'll have a conversation and then they present to the missions MLT and the missions MLT asks questions about what they do, how they, if they're not with IMB and how they're raising support, how are they currently raising support? Where is their funding coming from? What are the measures of accountability you already have? What support? And we have an agreement that we give to missionaries that we're going to support. Like, these are our expectations of what you should do and vice
versa.
Post
positive things about James at least once a week on social
right,
media.
Church on Bayshore, like, is that, but and then also.
That was a joke.
That's right. also what you should expect from us as a church, because we're not just sending you. We want to be your church. And so and that's a short answer. It definitely can go into more detail. I would say one of the first steps is if they're not a church, if it's not a church member, you know, if it's like a friend of someone, like you know someone, the first part of the conversation is, hey, we are a Southern Baptist church. And the first thing we'll do is say, hey, I want you to read our statement of faith, and I want you to read the Baptist Faith and Message, and just say, are there any areas in which you have variance? And that doesn't mean automatic no. It just means like we're not going to support someone who believes something outside of what we would consider orthodoxy. Yeah. And we've had that happen where the organization they were sent with in their statement of faith talked about the second baptism of the Holy Spirit, and what the work they're probably doing is great, and they're a Christian. Like that I don't believe they're not a Christian because they think that. However. My personality is like, sure, but I'm like, but I also represent the church who's entrusted this to this team. And so like, that's probably a no, because of these, you know, different beliefs in that. So
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Well, we are wrapping up this episode and we're also wrapping up Jesus Freaks, but what's coming? What's going to be new?
What is new? Do you know, Kelly?
I do know.
Well, we're continuing Colossians.
Yes.
Which I'm very excited about. We are now going to be calling it. It's Look Up.
Look Up. Look Up. Yeah.
Look Up. There's a there's
the
a
very first beginning. Set your mind on the things above. Mm. And then he begins to talk about ways that that plays itself out in our life. And so that's really the focus. That's
awesome. Man, we need that. I need to set my – yes, that's hard. I mean, because we just get so
– I feel the pressure
we're now. Constantly looking now. I mean, you better inspire me. Yes. There better be some tweetable statements in here.
Well, you said –
if the music doesn't give us the feels, I don't guarantee the tweetable
out.
Statements.
Fire up the haze machines to bring the Holy Spirit fog.
Yes.
The haze machines. You had said something.
If you don't, you might get critiqued. On so concerns. Did you see that?
Yes. I did.
One of our friends' churches in town, somebody was like, why don't they have smoke machines anymore?
I was like, really? Oh my gosh.
Concerned citizens? Seriously? Nice we would get the other. Somebody would be like, I'm leaving Bayshore because they had smoke machines.
Yeah, I was like, that's just so you can't win with it.
If you see smoke in our sanctuary, you probably need to run.
An alarm will be sounding soon.
It was not purposeful.
In the 90s, it was the deacons. But now,
okay.
They weren't singing Matt Redman, but they were smoking in the parking lot.
What about that? Okay. Well, if you guys have any questions for us, especially after this episode, feel free to send them to Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, at churchonbayshore.org. And thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.